Your Bibles, please turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 12 is where we're going to be tonight. Genesis chapter number 12, as we jump right in, looking at the life of Abraham. And of course, on Wednesday nights, we've been doing this these kind of mini series on different Bible characters. We've already covered Moses, we covered Noah recently, and now we're going to jump into the life of Abraham. So, Abraham, Genesis chapter number 12. And probably one of the more familiar verses related to Abraham is found in Genesis chapter number 12 in verse number 1. But we're going to look at Abraham listening to the call. And so that's kind of the focus here tonight. Genesis chapter number 12. Let's stand. Let's give our legs a little bit of a stretch, okay? We've been sitting for a little bit. Let's give our legs a little bit of a stretch. Genesis chapter number 12. And we'll jump in verse number 1 if we can. Genesis 12 verse number 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram." Now, let me just remind you, his name is Abram right now. It'll be changed to Abraham later, but we'll just use Abraham for the sake of simplicity as we're going through. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Let's ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll jump right in here tonight as we look at Abraham listening to the call of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, strengthen us as we look at your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that it would be applicable. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, help this to go beyond just a Bible study into a practical challenge and encouragement for us, Lord, to change the things that need to change. Lord, to listen to your calling and to your purpose in our life. Lord, strengthen us in these things, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray it all. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Two simple ideas as we're going to look at it here tonight, and then we'll break up for prayer. If we can pull up the slides, Brian. Now, two simple ideas, if we can, as we look at it. First off, we'll look at the call that God puts on Abram from verses 1 through 6. And then later on, we'll look at the fall, Abram not quite doing exactly what God calls him. First off, though, let's examine the call that God places on Abram's life. And really, there's three specific characteristics of God's purpose for Abram in this call. First off, let's look at verse number 1. God's purpose was that he would go to a new place. A new place. Look at verse number 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country." Okay? And then he continues on later on, "unto a land that I will show thee." So specifically, here's what God does. God comes to Abram. God says, "Abram, I want you to leave the place where you are, and I want you to go to a new place, a place that I'll show you." Now, of course, I've in the past kind of illustrated how difficult this would be. Now, but imagine, if you will, that you came to your spouse and you said, "Hey, honey, God has told me that we need to leave Apex." By the way, God has not told you that, but God has told me that we need to leave Apex and we need to go to some place. And your spouse says, "Okay, great. Well, where are we going to go?" And you say, "Well, I don't know." "Okay, well, what are we going to do?" "Well, I'm not really sure. But God will tell us when we get there." And so that's basically the idea. God comes to Abram. God says, "Abram, I want you to leave, but you're not going to know where you're going." And no doubt this would be a difficult move. Abram was an established man. He was up in years at this point. And so leaving would be certainly a difficult thing. But God said, number one, go to a new place. Number two, God says, go to a new people. Specifically in verse number one, it says this, "Lord, it said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred That is your kin, okay? For those of us Southerners, okay? Our kin, and from thy father's house, and the land that I'll show thee. So specifically, number one, it was a new place. Number two, it was a new people. That is, that he was supposed to leave everybody that he knew, apart from his wife, of course, and they were to go to a new area, to a place that they had never been, okay? Number one, a new place. Number two, a new people. Number three, God's purpose, God's plan, God's call for Abram was, number three, to have a new plan. Not whatever Abram had lived for before, but what Abram was supposed to be in the future. Unto a land that I will show thee. No doubt, Abram didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't know what job he would have. He didn't know any of those things. God said, hey, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. Now, let's take a time out and apply it to our own lives. Sometimes God leads us and God guides us into things that, frankly, most of us would kind of think would be a little bit crazy. Okay, let's use an illustration, okay? Brother Horace has been actively signing up the entire church to go to Spring Arbor. Yes? How many of you signed up to help over at Spring Arbor? Okay, a good number of us, okay? Even more on Sunday morning. Okay, we have how many? 10? 11 now? So we have 11 different people that have signed up to help over in Spring Arbor. Some of that includes speaking to the folks over there in Spring Arbor. Now, I guarantee you, probably a lot of you, when Brother Horace came up to you and said, hey, would you like to speak over at the nursing home? A lot of you were like, no, I would not, okay? Okay, probably, was that the case pretty much, Horace? Probably. But sometimes God leads us into things that maybe we wouldn't have intended. If we only go with what is comfortable, then we'll never go and move into what God wants us to do, right? Sometimes we have to take that next step. God's purpose for Abraham was different, as we'll see in just a second. To leave, to trust God, and to go out into the next step. And every person that God calls, oftentimes it takes that exact thing. To go out of your place of comfort and to do something for God. Number one, God's purpose for Abraham. Number two, God's promise to Abram. So basically, here's what God says. God says, hey, here's what you need to do. You need to leave. You need to leave, find a new place, find a new people, have a new plan. You're going to follow me and follow me alone. And if you do that, Abram, then this is what I'm going to do. Look at verse number two. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Let's break it down. First off, there would be an abundant line. That is, that he would make him a great nation. Now, you all know the story of Abraham. Abraham, at this point, had not had children. We don't know exactly how old he is when this call comes, but we know when he follows, he's 75, okay? He's old, okay? He doesn't have kids. None of that stuff has taken place. Sarah's a little bit younger, but not much, about 10 years younger, so she's 65, okay? So they're taking Social Security, y'all with me? And they're going out, and God says, okay, you are going to make a great nation. And I'm sure Abram kind of scratches his head a little bit when he tells Sarah. I suppose she kind of scratches her head a little bit. How's that going to happen? Well, God is going to do it. You see, one of the big things, one of the most important things that, frankly, Abram's going to struggle as we look at this character is God actually doing what he said he was going to do. See, Abraham often goes and tries to get things to work out himself. He tries to be in the place of God. He tries to be the guy that makes it happen. So he says, Abraham, I'm going to make of you, thee, singular, by the way, thee is always singular, I'm going to make of thee, singular, Abraham, a great nation. Number one, there would be an abundant line from Abraham. Number two, there would be abundant life for Abraham, as you see in verse number two. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So specifically, here's what God says. God says, Abraham, not only am I going to make you of you a great nation, but number two, I'm going to bless you, make your name great, you will be a blessing. Abraham, if you follow me, then I promise that your life will be better. Now, does that mean that we'll all be prosperous and super rich if we follow God? No. But we do know for certainty that the way of transgressors is hard, but God is good to them that fear him.
Am I making sense here, folks? So when we follow God, when we obey God, when we go God's way, then we'll have a more abundant life. As Jesus said, I am come that they, his disciples, those that follow him, might have life and have it what? More abundantly. So number one, an abundant life. Number two, an abundant life. God promised that to Abraham. Number three, I see in this passage, an abundant link. Look at verse number three. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. What's he saying here? First off, to Abraham, there would be a link between how people responded to Abraham and how God responded to them. Do you see that there? Yes? I will bless those that bless you. And I will what? Curse those that what? Curse you. So there's a link between Abraham and how God responds to people. By the way, that's something that, frankly, is very abnormal. God goes and God says, hey, if people accept you, Abraham, then it's like they're accepting me, and I will bless them just like I'm blessing you. Does that make sense? And people that are against you, I will curse. By the way, can I just say real quick, God's response is actually stronger than their response. When we look at it, we see bless, bless, curse, curse. They seem like the same words. They're actually different Hebrew words. The word, for example, for curse, when he says, I will curse him, the first curse there is a bitter curse, okay? It's the word harar, okay? Yeah, that's a fun word to say, okay? My Hebrew pronunciation is pretty terrible. Cursed thee, the second one there, is a light, is to make light of, to treat like insignificant. One of the reasons, by the way, why I believe that our nation should support Israel in part is because of this blessing and this curse. God said to Abraham and to his seed that those that bless him, God would bless. And those that curse him, those that treat him as insignificant, as light, then he would respond accordingly. But he goes beyond that at the end of verse number three. Verse number three, look at it. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, this isn't specifically tied to Abraham himself. Because how could every family in the earth be blessed with Abraham? Think about it. Did Abraham ever go to the New World, to America, what we would call America? Yes or no? No. So how could Abraham bless the people, the indigenous tribes that were over here? You all with me, folks? Yes? Am I making sense? So this last promise here in verse 3 isn't tied to Abraham. Who is it tied to? It's tied to the seed of Abraham. That is, that in the seed of Abraham, a son of Abraham, a child of Abraham, would bless all the nations of the earth. By the way, who are we talking about here, folks? Talking about who? Jesus. Every family, every nation in the world can be blessed through Abraham, through a child of his, that is Jesus. Okay? So, that's the call of God. You with me so far? Yes? That, to most of you, that's probably not new news, right? You probably heard a lot of this stuff. You've probably been familiar with these verses. Maybe you've heard them many times. You're probably familiar with this stuff, right? Are we pretty familiar? Yes? Yes, y'all with me? Yes? You haven't fallen asleep and your eyes are open still? Yes? Okay. All right, good. So, number one, we see the call. Number two, though, let's see Abraham's response and, frankly, the fall from the call, because they have to rhyme, of course. Okay? The fall of Abraham. Now, let me just say real quickly, Abraham doesn't fall in a major way here. As a matter of fact, if you start up in verse number 4, you see that Abraham's kind of following God. Look at verse number 4 if we can. What are the first three words? Can we say it? Verse number 4? Say it nice and strong. What are they? So Abram departed. Good. Meaning what, folks? That he obeyed. Abraham followed. He obeyed. He did what God said. Kind of. Keep your finger here. Flip over to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. Keep your finger here. We're going to be back here. Acts chapter number 7. This is Stephen speaking. Stephen was one of the early deacons, one of the first martyrs after Christ was crucified. And here's what Stephen says specifically about Abraham. And he gives a little bit more insight that we didn't really know from the book of Genesis. Look at it, chapter 7 and verse number 2. And he said, that is Stephen, said,
This is Acts 7, verse 2. And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in what, folks?" Say it together. What? Mesopotamia. Okay? You guys remember this? Mesopotamia. Okay. I totally butchered that probably. Mesopotamia. Do you remember Mesopotamia? Yes, you've heard of that? The Fertile Crescent, right? Okay, from history class. Okay. Specifically, we know from Genesis that he lived in the city of Ur. Okay? Okay? That's not just him stuttering. That's the city, okay? Let's continue on. Verse number 2. Before he dwelt in Haran. Okay? That's the Hebrew word Haran. Same city. Okay? And said unto him, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into land that I will show thee." Is that not what we just read? Yes? God's command to Abraham. Yes? You all with me, folks? So he said in Ur, okay, in Mesopotamia, "Hey, go to a land I'll show you." Verse number 4. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. So, he was living in Mesopotamia. Yes? You all with me so far? Yes? God said to leave Haran, or the other spelling from the New Testament, okay, and go to a land that I'll show you. So watch this. Catch this. Okay, I said before, we don't know when God called Abraham to leave, right? God could have called Abraham to leave when he was 30 years old. God could have called Abraham to leave when he was 20 years old. But we know that up until he was 75, Abram stayed with dad. You all with me, folks? God called Abram in Mesopotamia before he had departed out of Haran. Then he moved with dad to Haran, lived there in Haran. You all with me, folks? Yes? Lived there in Haran for a while. Then dad dies, and finally he says, "Okay, I'm following God." Is that pretty clear? Is that not pretty clear from these verses? Yes or no? A lot of times we think of it this way. God comes to Abram and God says, "Abram, I want you to leave to a land I'll show you." Abram goes to Sarah and says, "Hey, God just said to leave. All right," and so we grab everything and we go. That is not what happened. God said, "I want you to leave." And what does Abram do? He waits. And he waits. And he waits. And he moves with dad. And he waits. And he waits. And eventually dad dies. Now I can follow God. Now, can I say, folks, that is not the illustration and that is not the expectation that God wanted. You all with me, folks? Yes? What did God say? Leave your father, your mother. By the way, your father implies dad's alive, right? Leave your father, your mother, your kindred, everything. Go to a land I'll show you. But what does Abram do? He delays. Can I say, folks, there might be some people in here that God's called you to do something. God's directed you to do something. You know what it is you're supposed to do, but you're not doing it. You think, "Someday I'll do it. Someday. Eventually I'll get it done." Can I tell you, folks, that is not what God expects or what God wants for you. You all with me? I've talked to people over the years, and they say, "Well, someday, you know, someday I'll serve the Lord. When I'm retired, I'll serve the Lord. Someday I'll go and I'll do this or I'll do that." I remember when I was going to Bible college and I was studying for Bible college and all these different things, and I was involved in a lot of different Christian services, and a well-meaning person came to me and said, "Well, you know, you're not in ministry yet, John. Don't worry about that stuff. One day you'll be in ministry. Then focus on that. Right now just focus on your grades and focus on work and focus on these different things." Can I tell you, folks, it's not, God's calling is not something that happens in the future. God's calling is something that happens now. You with me? If God's put a burden in your heart, it's something that should happen now. Don't wait until later. "When dad dies, then I'll leave." No, that's not what God said. Leave your father, your kindred, everything. Go to a land I'll show you. Abraham delayed. Number 2, I see in this passage, flip back over to the book of Genesis if we can. Not only did Abraham delay, Abraham disobeyed. You say, "Wait, preacher, Abraham didn't disobey. He did what God said, didn't he? He left. He departed." Well, can I remind you, folks, that God's command, God's call to Abraham was not just to leave.
Although he delayed on that. God's call to Abraham was what? To leave everyone. Yes? You with me? Yes? Get thee up and to go and to depart. Leave your kindred. Obviously not leave your wife, okay? But leave your kindred. Leave all your kin, your extended family, and go. But what does Abraham do? Does he do that? Yes or no? No. Jump in at verse number 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and their souls that they had gotten in Haran, when they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now, can I just remind you a little bit about Lot? Okay? You remember that guy? Yes? Was it a good idea for Abram to bring Lot, or a bad idea for Abram to bring Lot? Bad. Okay? As a matter of fact, keep your finger here, okay? Or even if you don't, it's just one page. Flip over to chapter number 13. Chapter number 13, in verse number 5, all the way through verse number 13, you can look at it. They are already arguing. They just started the trip. You all with me, folks? They're already arguing. God's been blessing them. They already are arguing, and they say, okay, we got to separate. It took all of what? Like 10 days? Okay? Not very long. Okay? Obviously, I'm exaggerating, but not very long. And what are they doing? They're fighting. If you skip ahead to chapter number 14, what happens? In summary, there's this huge battle. At this point, Lot is living inside of Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember that story. Living inside of Sodom and Gomorrah, huge battle. These people take Lot captive, and Abraham has to do this daring night rescue to rescue Lot. Fast forward a couple more chapters, and now Lot is living in Sodom, and God says, I'm destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, but, you know, we'll let Lot come out because he's a righteous man, so we'll let Lot come out. But remember, he ends up losing his wife, then his daughters commit incest with him, get him drunk, commit incest with him, so they can have children. Those two children are Moab and the Ammonites. Moab are the people that constantly were attacking the Israelites. Ammon was another nation that was constantly attacking the Israelites. Can I tell you, folks, if Abram had just obeyed God, a lot of the future would have been a lot easier. Can I say, friends, when God calls you to do something, don't delay. Don't disobey. Do what he says and do exactly what he says when he says it. You all with me, folks? Your life will be so much easier if you just follow him. If you just say, okay, God, I will follow you. I will trust you. I will do what you say to the letter. I'm on it. I will do it. Number one, in following, Abram falls. Number two, in faith, Abram falls. Now, you might say, wait a second, preacher. Wasn't Abraham the father of faith? And yes, he actually is called that in some passages in the scripture. And certainly he was a man of faith. But can I say, his faith, frankly, sometimes waned. And by the way, all of our faith sometimes wanes. Yes? So before we start beating up on Abraham, we need to realize that we sometimes do the same thing. Right? Sometimes our faith wanes. And in this passage, you have this exact same thing. Look at verse number 10, if we can. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he came near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. That means, Sarah, you're good looking, girl. And if he had stopped right there, probably everything would be good in the life of Abram and Sarah. But he doesn't. Verse number 12. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife. And they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. By the way, I love that last phrase. He's like, that would be terrible, right? You know, they're going to kill me, but you'll still live. Like, that's real compassionate, Abram. Good. All right. Verse number 13. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So let's summarize. In his faith, he fails on a few fronts. Number one, over the famine. Specifically, we know this because you see that there's a great famine and that Abram goes down to Egypt. Now, there, it's weird why he went down, because frankly, Egypt isn't really south from where Abram is at this point. It would kind of be more just straight. Abram would be going straight west. So why down? He went down because a lot of times when people say they go down to Egypt, the picture is, hey, he's making a bad decision. He's going downhill. The reality is that this is what Abram does. He goes and he says, hey, there's a famine here. God's not going to provide for me. God's not going to take care of me. God's not going to meet my need. It's a really bad famine. But I know that there is stuff over in Egypt. And since I got to take care of it, I'm going to go over to Egypt. Can I remind you what God told Abram? One, God told Abram to go to the land that he shows him. Yes? Two, God told Abram that he would be the one that would bless him. Yes? That he was going to take care of Abram. You all with me, folks? Yes? Yes? You got me? God told Abram that. But Abram, because of environmental issues, because of all the different things, because it was hurting his pocketbook, said, okay, we need to leave this place, and we need to go to the place of wickedness, the place of sin, the place where, frankly, I'm concerned I might get murdered for my wife. Y'all with me, folks? Let's go there. That's better. Great idea, Abram. Seriously? Why would you go there? That's like, you know, the economy here in America is pretty rough, so, you know, I think we're going to go over to Afghanistan. You know, we're going to go live in the DMZ, you know, that's where we're going to be. You know, cuz it's a lot safer there. No, it's not safer there. What in the world? But over the famine, Abraham decides to not trust God. And can I say, in the famines of our life, sometimes we decide to not trust God. Right? The difficulties, the burdens, the hurts in our lives, do we not? Sometimes we decide to take the reins away from God. God said, hey, go where I show you. What do? We say, no, 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 I want to go where I want to go. Number one, over the famine, he failed in his faith. Number two, over his family, he failed in his faith. Of course, we know what happens specifically with Sarah. She's a beautiful woman. The Bible is very clear on that. By the way, this happens twice, okay? So this happens once. Abram still doesn't learn his lesson. He does it again with the Philistines later on. But she's a beautiful woman, and he's afraid that there will be bloodshed, that specifically he will die. But, of course, with the loving comment that, well, you'll still be alive, you know, so care for me kind of idea. And so, basically, here's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, Sarah, listen, here's the situation. God's not going to take care of our family, so I have to. Well, time out. What did God specifically say in verse number 2? Look at it. Flip back. Verse number 2. God said, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great. You'll be a blessing. Specifically, number one, could Abram be a great nation if he's dead? Yes or no? No, he would be dead. Correct? Number two, look at verse 3. He'll bless those that bless him and what? Curse those that what? Curse him. Okay, I tell you, it doesn't get much worse than killing somebody. You with me, folks? But what did Abram do? In the little bit of time between verses 1 through 3 and verses 10 and following, Abram forgot. Abram decided to take the reins again. Abram decided to go away from what God promised, and Abram decided to not trust God. So in his family, Abraham, and he said, hey, I got to be in control here. Number 3, over his finances, Abraham wanted to be in control. Of course, we've already looked at the famine, but even a step beyond that, look at verse number 16. Verse number 16 is terrible. I hate verse number 16. I don't hate verse number 16. It's the Bible, okay? But verse number 16 is rough. Look at it. And he entreated, that is Pharaoh, entreated, that is treated well, Abram well for his sake. For he had sheep and oxen and asses, that is donkeys, and men servants and maid servants, and she asses, she donkeys, girl donkeys, and camels. Okay, so this is literally, I think, what this is saying. You find later on that Pharaoh wanted to take Sarah to be his wife, right? Skip down a little bit. If you see, let's see, verse number 19. Why said thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. Specifically, here's what had happened here. In verses 17 through 20, Pharaoh sees Sarah. Now Sarah is not spoken for. right? Abram's just his sister, supposedly. So Abram sees Sarah. Let's use Becky as an illustration because she's the prettiest one in the church, okay? Becky, come on up. I am biased. Yes, I am. And I will fight you over it, okay? So he sees her, and, you know, we're just siblings, so don't hug on me, okay? So we're just siblings, okay? And so he sees her, and he's like, man, that's a beautiful lady. I think I'll marry her. Now what does Abram have to say? Nothing. So Pharaoh comes along and says, hey, you're a beautiful lady. And since you're the you know, family member, I'm going to give a dowry. This is what they did back in Bible times. I'm going to give a dowry to you so that I can marry this person who's just your sister. You with me, folks? So what does Pharaoh do? He entreats Abram well. He takes care of Abram. He gives him all these goods. And you see all the goods in verse number 16. And you can kind of almost picture Abram back in his tent. Sarah is now in the palace with Pharaoh, you know, getting ready to be wed. Am I making sense here? Why? Because Abram was so concerned over his finances. Oh, yeah, Abram. Yeah, you got kind of what you were concerned about. You don't have to worry about the famine now, right? Yes? Oh, you don't have to worry about the famine now. You got all this stuff. Oh, Abram, yeah, you got what you wanted, but you lost the one thing that really mattered. You lost your wife. Specifically, it's so involved that Abram doesn't really know what to do. He doesn't know how to get out of this thing. So God steps in, and God basically, by the way, isn't it good that God sometimes steps in for our stupidity, right? Praise the Lord. Yeah? Sometimes we really need God to step in for our stupidity. So God steps in for Abram's stupidity, and God goes and God smites Pharaoh's house with all kinds of plagues and all kinds of pestilence. And eventually Pharaoh realizes, hey, wait a second. When did all these plagues start happening? Oh, yeah, they happened when we took Sarah in. Wait a second. That Abram guy. I imagine Pharaoh goes, we don't have all the details here, although we have a lot more details when it happens again, because Abram doesn't learn his lesson, again with the Philistines. But I imagine Pharaoh comes to Abram, and Pharaoh says, Abram, hey, ever since I took Sarah, it's a big mess. She is like the most unlucky person in the world. Everything bad is happening, right? And Abram goes, and he's like, okay, well, I hate to tell you, but I totally lied. She's my wife. Look at what God responds. Look at verse number 17. Or Abram responds, rather. Verse number 17. Or actually, I'm sorry. Verse number 18. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou she's my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife. Take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Catch it. Pharaoh knew better about the difficulties, about the situation. Pharaoh restrains and corrects and lays into, if you want to say, Abram. Because Abram just didn't trust God. Can I say, folks, when we don't trust God, it's always worse for us than what we thought it would be. Abram thought, oh, well, we'll go down to Egypt. Everything will be good down in Egypt. Well, yeah, but remember, he was willing to give his life. Oh, you know, we'll just lie about Sarah. It's not a big deal. Well, yeah, but you nearly lost your wife. Over the finances, oh, well, you know, well, I imagine that all the riches that he had stayed there with Pharaoh. You know with me, folks? It's better to just trust God. What God's revealed, what God's told us, what God has said in his word, we need to stay with and say, okay, I'm claiming it, I'm trusting it, I'm believing it, I'm going to move forward with it. Don't tweak it, don't change it, don't try and adjust it, don't try and fit it, don't try and shove it into your own plans. Just trust God and say, okay, God, I trust you. By the way, can I just say, Abram's going to keep struggling with this. This is not the last time he struggles with this. Okay? Abram's going to keep struggling with, okay, how can I make God's plan work in my own way? But gradually we'll see as we look through Abram that eventually Abram says, okay, God, I'll trust you. That's fine. But in our lives, we need to learn to trust and to obey. Okay? Let's close in prayer if we can. Beck, thanks. You can have a seat. Let's close in prayer. After that, we'll divide up into groups, into our prayer groups, and then we'll be dismissed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, in your word, in what you have told us, in how you have led us, how you have directed us. I pray that you would strengthen us, Lord, to trust and to obey. Lord, whatever you've called us, whatever you've promised, whatever you've told us, Father, I pray that you would help us to simply say, okay, I trust you. Help us not to step away from it. Help us not to variate from it. Lord, help us not to wander, Lord, as times get hard. But God, help us to trust you through it all, knowing who you are, and knowing that you are the great God that we serve. Strengthen us in these things, we pray. Help us to remember this simple message, really, from the life of Abraham. Help us to remember these truths and these principles, Lord, we pray. And Lord, work in our hearts in these things. Lord, if there's something specifically that you have called somebody to do here in this church, you've called them to do something, but for whatever reason, they've said, no, I can't do it, I won't do it. I'm going to tweak it. I'm going to change it. I'm not going to follow through. I'm not going to serve you in that way. God, I pray that you convict them of that. Help them to see that going your way is always the easier and the better way. You bless when we follow you. Lord, I pray that you would help us in that. Strengthen us in these things, we pray. Be with the prayer group now as we break up into our prayer groups. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the different needs. A lot of needs represented by our church. Lord, I pray that you'd work in each one and strengthen and help those folks that are struggling. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen. All right, let's break up into prayer groups. Let's get a couple people from each group to pray. After that, you are dismissed. One more real